for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, October the 2nd, 1999. A Feast of Tabernacles, a men's retreat being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Brogdon of Jacksonville, Illinois, is the speaker of the morning. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Hallelujah. Whew. Well, first of all, Y2K, there's a little glitch that we picked up that's on the Windows programs, and those of you, I went up and showed Phil, and it's been a little ringing here. It's the thing that you can get in your regional settings, and you can set it to the last four digits for the year, and you can set that, and that'll help. There's some that feel that there might be a crash because it's still set up, the Windows program set up for two digits on the end of your at the year setting. So you can set that to a four digit, and it's real easy to do, and that'll alleviate a lot of problems. Most of you probably have your computers Y2K compliant, would have like date settings would change automatically to the years 1958 to 2029 or 28 or something of that nature. But change that little setting, that may alleviate some problems with you and with your programs there. As far as your DOS settings, your DOS is probably already okay. Yes, and one of the things that that I've been working on and things that's going to have an impact in America is the fossil fuel industry. The fossil fuel industry has been experiencing some changes. First of all, from the government aspect, the air has been polluted, so they are requiring them to put scrubbers and various other things in the fossil fuel industry on their keep their pollution down. And because of this, they have to do a lot of work, repair work.
They're restoring the fossil fuel plants that were shut down.
Well, they're restoring them. There's a lot of them going to be going down late this fall and into next year. Well, that will have an impact on our energy in America. And at the same time, they're shutting down nuclear plants. The NRC has come in, and the area where I'm at in Illinois and parts of Missouri, there's a lot of nuclear plants that will be shutting down. They've already shut some up by Chicago down, and there are no plans of restoring them. There's one in Clinton, Illinois. It's probably one of the largest plants that Illinois Power had, and if they hadn't got some of the valves and things corrected there, they were going to shut that down. Well, that has an impact in America, because when you start losing all these megawatts of energy, something's got to be there to replace it, and the government has kind of put restrictions on them, and they have not built any new fossil fuel plants. The last one that, to my date, that I looked up in a record was in 1984, was the last new fossil fuel coal-burning plant that was constructed. And so with that, a fossil fuel plant has to go through reconstruction every 20 years. And the last time they had any reconstruction of fossil fuel plants was back in the late 70s and early 80s. So guess what? It's coming back again to where they're going to have to do some repairs on these fossil fuel, and it's going to cause a lot of megawatts of electricity to be shut off. So at this time, they're rushing, literally running, to put up gas turbines throughout America. And these are natural gas turbines. They can bring them online real fast, and they will create energy. But the drawback to the gas turbine is that the gas turbines will devour a lot of natural gas. So guess what? Your natural gas prices are going to skyrocket probably beginning this fall and next year. There's some that are believing that it will probably double, triple, may even go higher than that for your natural gas prices because of these gas turbines. I know one plant in Illinois is putting up 10 of them, and they'd like to have them all put up. They would have liked to have had them all yesterday, but that's not possible. And the other scenario is there's not enough workers out there to do this particular work. This last year, in a project that I was on, we had the whole plant shut down, and they were rushing to get it back online for the summer. And it went down last fall. That's why I couldn't be here last fall. And they were rushing to get all this put together, and we did make the deadline, just barely, but we made it. And the thing is that with these plants going down like this, I can see the chaos that's going to happen in America. They're going to literally have blackouts. They could have blackouts and shut off parts of the country because there's not enough plants generating electricity. Or they may ask you to cut back on some things if they don't get these fossil burners, or excuse me, these coal burners up and going, in which they won't be able to. So they're going to rely on these gas turbines, and gas turbines are going to cause the natural gas. See the scenario that there is? It's just a regular scenario that's going to take off here in America. And, you know, how many people do you know that are on fixed income? They're not going to be able to be able to take care of a lot of the increase that's going to take place. They're talking about deregulation. I don't want to really get into this, but there's a lot of they're going to be deregulating. In fact, they're already starting in the major companies across America. They're deregulating, and you can choose your electric company, okay? Which everybody thinks, well, that's going to be wonderful. That'll be fine. It'll be fine for a little while until they start having these problems. And this company, we have one in Illinois that this last year had sold so much electricity, and they had one of their generators go down. And in so doing, they come underneath a pretty major lawsuit, a $50 million lawsuit, because they couldn't provide the electricity that they had were supposed to supply. And so I can see a lot of these things happening. Also, I just got back from Canada. I was up in Canada, and up there they're advertising a particular book put out by four generals of the Chinese Army, and the book title of the book is called The All-Out War. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Nobody's heard of it here? Okay, it's The All-Out War, and it's a war like it's never been fought before. And they're spelling out in this book how to destroy America. And the number one area is, let's destroy their energy, source of energy. Let's destroy via the computer their banking system, which they have hackers that can probably do that. And they're spelling out in this book, and it's on the internet, and you can go in there and learn how, and this is what it's for, so people can get in. And we have a lot of dissidents in America, and people that are out there that want to destroy America. So it's out there for people to look at, to read, and they can pick this particular book up, and they want to destroy America from within. And they're spelling out how to do it. Four Chinese generals, the top four generals of China. Amazing, isn't it? And we learned this in Canada. We didn't learn this in America. We learned this up in Canada that this is out. Now, I haven't actually seen the book. I haven't went on the internet. But the people that were telling us about it, they were very concerned for America, because it will really disrupt things here. That's why we need to draw close to Jesus. That's why we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and fear not. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to fear, does he? You know, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind, the scripture says. And the Lord has already revealed and showed to me in the days ahead all the things that are going to be happening. If you're in Christ, you're in the anointing, you're in Jesus, and Jesus is in you, you can overcome. See? And what our brother enlightened us with last night, what Jack enlightened us with, is that we need to know who Jesus is. We need to have that relationship with Jesus. And we need to have the information that he's given to us in the Word so that we can overcome. I'm telling you, it's not a... Last week, I'll give you a quick little testimony. Last week, we had Brother Tommy Cook come up, and we were going to just, in this one church, do the Feast of Tabernacles, start it. They wanted us to come there. And that day I was checking out some stuff, and I was up on a ladder, and all of a sudden, boom, I got dizzy, just like that. Now, I knew what it was from. It's from witchcraft sent at me. And I came off the ladder, and I was amongst some other gentlemen there, and I excused myself, and I went into the restroom, and I began to do warfare against this thing. I knew what it was, you see? And I stood against it. And Tommy showed up later that afternoon, and I told him about it, and the two of us went into warfare. Tommy called me up Thursday of this week, and he told me that he had the same experience happen to him. My uncle here, Paul, had the same experience happen to him just this week. Witchcraft. The devil is trying to keep us away, but they don't know who we are. Apparently. They have no understanding of who we are. We know who we are in Christ Jesus, and we know what it is, and we can stand against these things and pull down those strongholds that have been sent against us. And as the brother said last night, he's under our feet. He's not going to whip on us. Amen? Praise God. So with that, saying that, I want to attempt to instruct you today in the importance of keeping the feasts. Okay? There's importance of keeping the feast of the Lord, specifically. If I can find my little notepad. There it is. Let's go to Exodus chapter 23. You know, you have people give you a lot of stuff. And I'm just appreciative of the little booklets and things that have been given to me. And while you're turning there, the promises of God. You need to know the promises of God. Amen. There's a good little book back there. Pick it up if you don't have it. And then you need to know about Christians can possess demons, but they cannot be possessed. That's a good little book, I'm sure. I know the author of that one. And the other book was recommended. Well, look over here in Exodus 23, verses 14 to 17. We find here it says, three times you shall keep a feast unto me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it you came out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field. And the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy male shall appear before the Lord God. Look over in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. These feasts are important. Now, I don't know that I'll get into it today or whenever, but we're going to see the importance of these feasts spiritually, what they mean to us. That's what's important, isn't it, Glenn?
That's right.
Spiritually, what it means to us. We were coming through town today, and we saw that there's one particular church that's having a Feast of Tabernacle celebration, and I wonder if they had booths set up. A lot of the churches are going back to the law. And a lot of people think that because I teach a lot out of the Old Testament, that I went back to the legalism of the law. Well, I tell you, that's erroneous. We find here in chapter 23, it says, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of something. Feast of what? Of the Lord. So they're not our feasts, are they? They are the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. Verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons or their appointed times. There's an appointed time to keep these particular feasts. Naturally, now look at this. You need to look at these feasts. You need to look at really a lot of things in the Word of God in three areas. I've said this a few times down here and everywhere I go. Three areas. You need to look at it, first of all, naturally. How did it happen to Israel or to the church? You need to look at it prophetically. Did it happen to Jesus? Okay? And then the third thing you need to look at it spiritually. Is it happening to me today? Can I apply this today? Yes, you can. You could apply these today. He says, in the 14th day of the first month, that even is the Lord's Passover. Now notice, in the evening of the 14th day is the Lord's Passover. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 6 says, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You see, unleavened bread comes immediately after Passover. Unto the Lord, and 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now, a lot of people today try to keep this thing naturally. And they try to make, any of you, I see there's a few women here. Have you ever made unleavened bread? Maybe some of you men have made some unleavened bread. And it's not the best stuff in the world to eat. But there are a lot of people that keep this and try to keep the feast and keep and eat unleavened bread. But I tell you, I'm going to get into this today, that it's spiritually what God is wanting to. There's leaven in your life that God wants to bring out. Amen. And verse 10 says, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheep of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. That's the feast of first fruits. Verse 15 of this same chapter, 23 of Leviticus says, "And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed." So the day that you bring the sheaf of the first fruits offering, and it is way before the Lord, then 49 days from that, 49 days or seven Sabbaths shall be completed. And verse 16 says, "Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall be number." Shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Now, there's a lot in this. So that 50th day, we call it today as actually in the Greek term is Pentecost, 50. But actually, it was the sheaf of the wave offering. After the sheaf of the wave offering was the 50th day, the day after that, 50 days after that was the day of Pentecost. And then verse 24 says, "Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation." That's the Feast of Trumpets. Verse 27 says, "Also on the tenth day of the seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." That's the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Then we find down in verse 34, "Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord." Verse 36 says, "7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, everything upon his day." So we find here the seven feasts of the Lord in 7 months. Seven is the number of completion, isn't it? And the Lord wants to complete something in our life. Turn back to Exodus chapter 34.
Don't forget
Deuteronomy. Yeah, I'm 16. I've got that. Turn back to Exodus 34. I want to show you something, though, when you begin to... And you can then go over to Deuteronomy 16. I'll get that after this. Here's the important thing. When you begin to observe the feast of the Lord does something for you. Isn't that wonderful? It says in verse 22 of chapter 34 of Exodus, "And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year." Now, how many of you would want the blessings of God? If we observe the feast three times a year, then God said that he would do something, didn't he? First of all, he's going to enlarge your borders. Amen? He's going to cast out all nations before you, and he's going to enlarge your borders. Number two. And number three, neither shall any man desire your land. I mean, nobody will want you. They'll want to have nothing to do with you. But you have to go and appear before the Lord. Now turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Then we're going to get into this. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Chapter 16. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, "Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in a place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread or Passover, and in the feast of weeks or Pentecost, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty." I hope you came today full. "Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessings of the Lord thy God which he hath given thee." You know, how many of us have something to give? And I'm not talking about your financial whatever, and that's what it's speaking, referring to here, but we need to be giving one to another, don't we? The anointing that's within us, we need to be giving something. We need to be enlightened with the Word of God. We need to be instructed with the Word of God. Our brother Jack last night, turn over to Proverbs chapter 9. I wanted to give this to him, and I didn't last night, but I'll give it today. And this is what he was doing to us last night. Proverbs 9:9. That's a good one, isn't it? 9:9. It says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." We received instruction last night, didn't we? We're getting wiser, aren't we? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just touch right just this morning here real quickly. About the feast. I'm going to go through the Passover through Pentecost here this morning real quickly, if I can. And then we'll end this evening with tabernacles. Is that fine? We're going to see something in these. God has established a simple order relative to progressive truth. God wants us to progress in truth. Amen? He wants us to grow, doesn't he? He wants us to grow up. He doesn't want you to be the same yesterday as you were the day before. He wants you to grow up, didn't he? Today you've got to be a little bit wiser than what you were yesterday. And in the feast, I didn't read it over there, but in the feast, you come in and you go over to Ezekiel. You came in one way, you went out another. So when you came in today, you better go out another way. Changed, amen? A little more anointed, a little more full. Now look over at 1 Corinthians 15 and 46. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15 and 46. Everybody hear me okay? Paul, instructing the church at Corinth, says, and look at verse 45 first of all. It says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual." See the order? The natural, and then comes to the spiritual. Amen? So there's a progression in God, isn't there? First there was the old creation, then came the new, right? First there was darkness, and then there was light. Amen? We're coming into more light today, aren't we? Darkness is fleeing. First there was the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life. Now there is the Garden of God and the real Tree of Life, Jesus. Amen? We are the Garden of God. Amen? Everybody knows that? You are the Garden of God. First, there was the first Adam, then there's the last Adam. There was the first Passover, then the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He is our Passover, isn't he? First, there was the typical feast, then the unveiled glory of God in the feast. See, we need to look at these feasts and see the glory of God in them, don't we? There's the end of the old and the beginning of the new. Something has to pass away before something new comes, right? God always takes away the first so that he can establish the second, it says in Hebrews. He always. And we should always observe that which is first, which is the natural feast. We ought to know about the natural, hadn't we? And then move into the spiritual. These feasts, they prefigure and typify the whole of the church. And this church age that we're in right now started with the cross, didn't it? Didn't the church age start with the cross? It didn't start prior to that, did it? It started with the cross, didn't it? The cross of Jesus. But it's going to end with the glorious manifestation of the sons of God, the sons of glory. Amen? It's going to end with that. And we're going to see a glorious display of God's power and God's glory in his saints. Doesn't that excite you? That excites me. And we need to understand in the Word of God that we need to be keeping these feasts. We need to understand what the beginning was, and we need to go to the end. And God has an end for all things, doesn't he? Amen. He has an end. Hallelujah. He started with Passover, and he's going to end with tabernacles. And there's a progression in that. And the church needs to know that these steps will lead us from death into life, out of rejection into exaltation, and out of suffering into the kingdom. What a progression. Can you get a handle on that? You know, all of Israel worshiped and centered themselves around the Lord in these feast days. And they came, as we read in Deuteronomy 16, they came and they weren't empty, were they, Glenn? And yet, today, people come in and they're empty. Have you been empty? You've been empty inside, haven't you? The Lord Jesus wants to fill you. He wants you to experience new experiences, new things with him. Each day is a new day. You can experience something new every day if you want to. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 12 now. This is the very beginning. This is the first time. You know, God gave the feast before he gave the tabernacle, didn't he? So let's look at the Exodus chapter 12. How many of you had been in Egypt? Well, just a few. We were all in Egypt, and God has brought us out, hasn't he? We're coming out of, I would like to say we're wholly out of it, but I think we still try to bring Egypt back in. Oh, I'm hearing amen from the women's section there. Over in chapter 12 of Exodus, he says, verse 2, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, "In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to him every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole congregation of the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house where in it they shall eat, and they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." And go down to verse 11, "And thus shall ye eat of it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So we find here that Israel came into a new experience. They hadn't experienced this before, had they? And we know today that there are many people coming into a new experience when they eat the lamb, when they accept the lamb. Amen. Who is the lamb? Anybody know? Jesus, the Lamb of God. Look over in John here. Let's look and see that. Can we verify this by the Word of God? Yes, we can. We can verify that this Jesus is the Lamb of God. Amen.
Find over in John chapter 1, verse 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Woo! Glory be! Hallelujah for the Lamb. Took away your sin, took away my sin, took away everybody's sin. You know, Passover is not just a once-a-year experience, is it? Every time somebody accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, bingo, Passover. Passover. And what happens when you partake of Jesus? And what happens when you experience Passover? What's the next day? What happens? You come unto unleavened bread, don't you? Unleavened bread. Hallelujah. We as the children of God need to let the old things pass away because we became new. Amen? We came out of the world, out of the bondage. Yes, sir?
Every new experience of God
is a
Passover.
That's good. Every new experience with God is a Passover. Changing. That's tabernacles, too. Coming into those feasts. And that's the whole idea of the change. You know, we're coming into the life of the Spirit where we desire to serve God, aren't we? It's a life of servitude. Did you think you were going to be a servant? Nobody wants to serve anymore. Ask Glenn and Irma. Nobody wants to serve anymore. Everybody wants to be the main cheese. But God is looking for servants. He's looking for those that have a servant's attitude. You know, man is only free when he is bound to Jesus Christ. It's the only time we're free is when we're bound to Jesus. We have freedom in him. Because with Jesus, there's love and friendship. Amen? Have you experienced such love? Now, the scripture says over in Exodus that they were to take a lamb for a house. Amen? Look over in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians. A lamb for a house. I'm going to whiz right through these, I believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that he that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There it is. We're to abound. He's giving us. God is able to give to us all things, all sufficiency in all things. And that lamb, when we partook of that lamb, God gave us all things. We have everything we need in Jesus. Everything we need is in Jesus Christ. But we need to be instructed, don't we? We need to have information. That lamb was to be without blemish. We read it in John 1:29. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was without blemish. He was without sin, wasn't he? The lamb had to be killed, didn't it? If you look over in Hebrews 9:22, hallelujah. Hebrews 9:22, it says that he was, and almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And so with his blood, we have remission of sins, don't we? With his blood, we have atonement. He made atonement for our soul, didn't he? You know, a lot of people says, at one with God. Well, it's hard for me to realize that I'm at one with God. But the Scripture says he has made atonement for us. We can truly thank God for that. The blood must be applied, it said over there, didn't it, in the Scriptures. And so in Exodus. So the blood has to be applied. Look, if you look in Romans 3, verses 25 and 26, it says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We are justified by the blood. Have you taken that blood and applied it to your life? To the doorpost? Where's the door? Right in your heart, isn't it? I hear in your heart. You apply that blood for cleansing. And once the blood is applied, the spirit of death has no hold on you, does it? Hallelujah. And it says that lamb must be eaten. John chapter 6. And everybody will see Jesus in the feast here in the book of John. John chapter 6. Verse 53-55. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Anybody want life? There you go. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth and drinketh my blood, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Woo! Anybody here in Jesus? Anybody here have a part of Jesus? Amen. We should have, shouldn't we? Hallelujah. And you know, over in Exodus it said that they must depart rapidly. You know, look in Romans 12:2. They had to depart. They had to leave Egypt. They had to get out of Egypt, didn't they? Immediately. So immediately when we partake of the Passover lamb, immediately we have to depart out of Egypt. How many do you know that have accepted Christ and went back to Egypt? Well, that sounds like Israel, doesn't it? That's what they wanted to do, go back. But immediately when we partake of Jesus, we need to get out and be changed. In verse 2 of chapter 12 of Romans says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have to eat of the Lamb and get out of the world immediately. And you know, to me, that means I need to daily meditate upon the Word of God. And I need to daily appropriate the Word of God. Do you do that? You appropriate the word daily? It needs to be done. As our brother said last night, you know, you've got to use the word. You need to use the word. That information, you have information. Use it. Hallelujah. We have to depart from the world and its corruption. And I'm telling you, the world has entered into the church today. Mainline church is corrupted by the world. And if we allow a little leaven in, that leaven will overtake us. Amen? And so the world and the church has let these corrupting influences in, and they have stopped really following the Lamb. As if they followed the Lamb, they would separate themselves and consecrate themselves unto the work of the kingdom. Then it says that there must be a blood. The blood has to be applied, doesn't it? And when he sees the blood, he'll pass over you. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 21 says, For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The blood applied to us causes us to be righteous before God. Amen? That's the only way we're righteous before God, is through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then immediately after you partake of the Passover lamb, you went right into unleavened bread. Immediately. You see, the Hebrew time was different than our time. Even today, some of the old Jews are keeping the days as they did in the Scriptures. And their day started at 6 o'clock in the evening. Went around to the next day at 6 o'clock in the evening. And so Jesus, the Lamb of God, was on the cross, and at the what hour? The ninth hour. He gave up the ghost, and they took him down, and immediately they took him into the tomb, didn't they? Because why? Because another holy day was coming up. Another holy day, unleavened bread. And they had to keep that. It was a holy day. And so we find that as they entombed Jesus, they went back and they waited, didn't they? And it was amazing to me that they waited till first fruits, the day of first fruits, to go check the tomb. Hallelujah. There's another study in this. Hallelujah. Look over in Luke 22. Luke 22. We see Jesus here. It says, now when the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So you see, unleavened bread and Passover, one and the same. Passover is a 3-in-1 feast. Started with Passover, went to unleavened bread, and then first fruits. All within the same week. You get that? All real quickly. And we find here that unleavened bread, what does leaven do? Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 again. What does leaven do? There you go. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says in verse 6 through 8, your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. How many of us are lumpy? We've not purged ourselves. We have a little leaven in there yet. So he says, purge it. That means something you have to do, isn't it? That's something you have to do. It's something I can't do for you. Something you have to do for yourself. Purge. You know, I think of the word purge in English, you know. And if you're purging something, I mean, you're putting some force on it to get it out, aren't you? Isn't that what it takes with us? There's a lot of things I didn't want to change. I can ask a couple brothers back here, especially one back here that knew me from old. I didn't really want to change some things. I kind of liked it, but the Lord caused me to purge out the leaven that was there. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. Now you're called unleavened, but yet there's leaven within us, isn't there? For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know, the characteristic of leaven is that it penetrates, doesn't it? It penetrates. A little sin, you open up the door to a little sin, it penetrates and opens up other doors and other doors and other doors. Pretty soon you've got a lot of leaven. And look over in Galatians 5. I want to show you something here in Galatians 5. Thank you, Lord. I want to show you what this leaven will do. Hallelujah. That says in verse 9, it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And if you go on, Paul's talking to them. In verse 18, he says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he named some things: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you've got some of this leaven within you and you're operating in some of these things, you can rest be assured that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And as we begin to press into God, there's no time to allow this corruption in this day. There's no time to allow this sin to enter into us. Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 16. Jesus espousing here, chapter 16, verse 6. These are some scriptures that really jumped out at me, and I had a hard time with them in the very beginning, so I began to study and to look these things up. Verse 6 of Matthew chapter 16 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." I wondered, what was that? What was that? What's that sin? What's the sin of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And if you look, pardon me? Religiosity, isn't it? Yes. Religiosity. False teachings. Good. Look on down. Jesus tells them about the leavenous there. And if you want to look in Luke 12:1. Jesus says the same thing over in Luke 12:1. All right? But their sin was religiosity. Is there a lot of religiosity in the church today? Sure is. That religious spirit is there, isn't it, in the church? And we look so pious, and people look so pious and things. Jesus says in the latter part of verse 1 of chapter 12 of Luke, it says, "Beware you of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." So he tells us what it is. Hypocrisy. Saying and not doing. An outward show, isn't it? That's leaven. Do you do that? Oh, no. David, surely I don't do those things. Surely I don't say and not do. Well, I tell you, most of us do. Most of us do. We say and don't do. You ever told someone, "Oh, yeah, I want to get with you," and but in the back of your mind, you knew you weren't going to? Saying and not doing. And what is the leaven of the Sadducees? Let's Mark 12 and 18. Let's go there. Go ahead. What did you say?
Unbelief.
There you go. Mark 12, verse 18 says, "Then came unto him the Sadducees, which say, There is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, You believe that there is no resurrection?" There are people out there in the church today that deny the resurrection. The Sadducees denied miracles. They denied the supernatural. That's a leaven, isn't it? That's a leaven that's there. And so that's two. There are five leavens, by the way. I should have mentioned that. There are five leavens, and we're getting into. The first one was the leaven of the Pharisees. The second one's the leaven of the Sadducees. You probably already know this. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Chapter 23 of Acts, verse 8 says, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." I understand now. I heard Rick Joyner years ago say, the Sadducees were that. Sadducees. What did they believe in? Not much, was there? Not much. Then we saw that Jesus talked about Herod a lot. Look over Mark 8:15. Mark 8:15. Verse 15 says, "And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." So he's saying, watch out for those who are hypocrites. They have an outward show. And then look out for those Herodians in the church. What was Herod? Herod loved the world. He was seduced by Herodias' daughter, wasn't he? He was sensual. He was sly. He became a murderer. He was a lover of the pleasures of this world more than he was a lover of God. Ooh, is that a sign of the last days? Amen. You know, if we're anchored to the doctrines of men, we're going to be earthbound. But if we're anchored to the man behind the veil, Jesus, we're going to be heavenbound. And we begin to rise higher and higher into the realm of the Spirit. You know, Jesus desired to eat the Passover and to get into the unleavened bread. He desired that, didn't he? And we find over in I'm going to give you the other two things. 11 of the Galatians. What was 11 of the Galatians? We read it. And 5:9, the little 11, 11 is the whole lump. But look in chapter 3 of Galatians, and you'll find the 11 of the Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 1 of Galatians says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Are you, verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now made perfect by the flesh? So they started out right, didn't they? What caused them to go back? They were bewitched. They were seduced. Tommy says that Jezebel spirit seduced them. Caused them to go back. They went back to legalism. In fact, here in Galatians, they were going back to circumcision and other things that were happening. So they went back to legalism. They went back to the law rather than grace. They were in bondage to the ordinances. Amen. And then the last 11 that there is that we have to look at in the New Testament is 11 of the Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. When I first heard these things some 20 years ago, I had to begin to look at my life and say, Lord, is this leaven within me? If it is, I need to be freed from it. I need deliverance from these things. And that's where deliverance plays an important part of our life in these feasts, is to be free from these fleshly and demonic strongholds that have a hold of us. Amen? Chapter 5. The leaven of the Corinthians. He says, verse 1, is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, incest. Incest in the church. You know what the problem with the Corinthian church was? They loved that brother instead of delivering him. They loved him. They didn't do anything for him. Paul says, get him out. Correct him. He says in verse 2, then you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, have judged already, and as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You know, the church of Corinthians had no church discipline. That's their problem. No church discipline. Do we need that today? Amen. We need some men of God, and if God won't use the men, use the women, somebody to stand up and cause discipline to come back into the church. There was sexual wickedness in the church. It's prevalent today. A number of years ago, back in 87 and so forth, God revealed a lot of the sexual wickedness that was going on in some particular ministries. And so that's the leaven that there is. The five leavens in the New Testament, anyway. And Jesus said, beware of them, didn't he? So if he's telling his disciples and us to be aware of them, that doesn't mean that they're still evident, right, Jack? They're still here. You know, this is the day and the hour of restoration. God is stressing the spiritual significance of the feast. First of all, when you partake of the Passover, when you go into Passover, bring to remembrance 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Bring to remembrance in the Passover the Lamb. Amen. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, and this is Jesus, take, eat, This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Passover, we come together, we partake of, typically known as the Lord's Supper, Passover meal. Partake of the bread that brings us life, amen. Partake of the cup that brings us into covenant. You know, I know that there are many that don't understand covenant today, especially here in America. But we're in a covenant that if the church could just grasp a hold of, it's an awesome covenant. As our brother said last night, he has many blessings for us as we've entered into that. He has a part to play, and we have a part to play. Amen? But Jesus wants us to come into this covenant, and he wants us to be prepared to go further into his glory. He doesn't want us to stop. Now, there are some people that partake of the Passover. They don't want to go into unleavened bread. They don't want to go into first fruits. They don't want to go into Pentecost. They don't want to go any further. They just are content with Passover. I used to get so upset. They need to go on. There's more. But then the Lord spoke to me and says, I'm not upset about it. So I guess if he wasn't upset, I guess I'm not upset. Just that I see that there's more potential for us if we move on and move up in Jesus. Amen? That's our banner that we have in our ministry, is to move up in Jesus. There's more yet. Don't stop where you're at. You know, there's denominations that stop at Passover. Am I not right? And there's Pentecost speaks to us of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People that stop at Pentecost, don't they? They don't go any further. I tell you what, I received the Passover, the unleavened bread. I know I'm part of the first fruits. And I took Pentecost. I took the bread, the unleavened bread there, by the way. And I'm going on because there's more in tabernacles. There's more past the veil. Amen? I thank God for those other things, but there's something I'm pressing closer to. That Holy of Holies. Amen? Woo! Glory. You know, from the Reformation until now, God has been graciously restoring lost truth. Graciously, hasn't he? And it's not finished yet. We had some truth last night. Amen?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.